ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
धर्मार्थ काम मोक्षां च सहोपायान् यथा मुने नानाख्यानेतिहासेषु वर्णयामासतत्त्ववित्. Then he describes the occupational duties of different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. The fourth, incidents mentioned in the Vedic literature, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata and Ramayana, are factual historical narrations that took place sometime in the past, although not in any chronological order. Such historical facts, being instructive for ordinary men, were assorted without chronological records. Besides that, they happen on different planets, namely different universes, and thus the description of the narrations is sometimes measured by three dimensions. We are simply concerned with the instructive lessons of such incidents, though they are not in order and a limited range of understanding. Vishnudeva described such narrations before Maharaj Yudhishthira in reply to his different questions. God is making the point herein that narrations explained in Shastra are not necessarily in chronological order, not necessarily given in chronological order. Mahabharata and Ramayana are more or less in chronological order. Mahabharata, of course, there are different stories which are out of chronological order, but within the structure of the main text, they are within chronological order, because what happens is there is a basic chronological order, but then within the course of that, some rishi will give some narration which is from the past. So many things are described in there which are from the past, but they're described within the context of a rishi relating them within the main text, which is in chronological order, more or less. So often in Mahabharata you'll find it's very complex, and it's difficult to keep track of what's going on, because you'll find there's the main story, then within that, one rishi will begin to narrate one story. Now within the story that he's narrating, another rishi will narrate another story. And within that, another rishi will narrate another story. And to keep track of it, it's difficult. It's like these Russian dolls. You know, have you seen it? There's one kind of doll they make in Russia, wooden doll. You open it up in the middle, and there's another one inside, and you open up that, and there's another one inside, and you open up that, and there's another one inside. So, in this way, to follow the storyline of Mahabharata, it's quite difficult. It said, Sri Shudra Bijabandhu Nam Traina Veda Gotraya. It's Sri Shudra Bijabandhu, which are prominent in this Kali Yoga. They are not fit to understand. Sri means woman, Shudra means Shudra, hello Shudra, Sandhara. In the Kali Yoga, everyone is born as a Shudra. And Vijabandhu, the fallen descendants of the Brahmana caste, they are not fit to study the Vedas. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata, which is the summary of all the Vedas, which is easy for them to understand. But then the Mahabharata itself is not so easy. Now, at this stage, we are lower than Shudras. Shudra Adhana. Lower than a Shudra. In fact, if someone calls us a Shudra, we should think, oh, that's a compliment. Because the actual Shudra in Vedic society is a much more cultured and disciplined and pious person than the average person of the modern age. Just like, I'll give an example, this
Gopu Chandra Prabhu and Sela was just telling me that the RSS group is calling them to give some lectures to the cadres of the RSS. And he found that they're supposed to be standing up for Hinduism, but they know nothing. They don't know that Ayodhya is the birthplace of Lord Ram. They think it's just a place where you go and fight and pull down mosques and Wahipa Mandir Banindu. That is the place where they build a temple. That used to be a slogan of the BHP. I think they forgot that name. It means we will build a temple, the temple. So they just think that they don't know Ayodhya is the birthplace of Lord Ram. They don't know even the names of the different Kaushalya, Sumitra, Kaikeyi, Okay, very good. Who are they?
Yeah. Who are they?
Can you say Ramani? Wives of Dasharatha, who is the father of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra, who else?
Ramachandra. What else?
Who else? Father of Ram. What are the names of brothers of Lord Ramachandra? Ram. So Dasharatha is the father of Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna, and Bharat. And who else? One daughter, yes. Shankar. Very good. She was born long before Ram and his brothers because she was married before that too. She was married to Rishyasringa, who came and to the kingdom of Dasharatha, Mithila, Ayodhya. So I'm getting it wrong. So he performed the necessary yajna and function so that Dasharatha could have a son. So now they say Ham Do Halare Do, but at that time it was Ham Cha. We added two wives, Hamare Panch. So it's a little different. We had five children. So these narrations are actually very valuable for human society. We put a lot of stress on Srimad Bhagavatam, but actually all the Vedic scriptures are all very valuable for human society. We put more stress on Bhagavatam for different reasons. One reason is that it is the topmost Vedic literature which directly describes Krishna. And people in the modern age don't have much time or inclination for Shastra study at all. Just like the same, these young boys in the RSS in Salem, they don't even know that Ayodhya is the birthplace of Lord Ram. They're feeling we are Hindus. God save the home. I'm Hindu head. Say it proudly, we are Hindus. They're feeling like that. But they don't, not only the Hindus, but the influence of the Ramayana and Puranas and Shastra was so strong in previous ages, in previous times, that not only the Hindus, but even the Muslims in India could tell you what is the, Ayodhya is the birthplace of Lord Ram. Many Muslims, they used to, because people are always talking about it, and they'd also take pleasure in hearing all these things. Many Muslims also used to celebrate Janmashtami, Ram Navami, it used to be like, even now some still do. So, these Puranas, they're also important as a background to the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Mahabharata and Ramayana. These are very important in human society because Ramayana, of course, is the pastimes of Lord Ram, and they're all didactic. Didactic means that which is intended to instruct. They're all instructed. And we find, just like if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that there are quotes not only from Bhagavatam but from so many shastras which support the conclusion of Bhagavatam, which is Krishna's true Bhagavan instruction. And we find from the Bhagavatam that the personalities who are described there, they also had knowledge of Ramayana and Mahabharata and all these different scriptures. Just like, for instance, we find in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, in the course of describing the Surya Vamsa, to Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami comes to the point of where he's describing the different kings in the Surya dynasty, and in particular the Rahu dynasty. He comes to the point of now the son of Dashrath is Lord Ram. So he says that I will just briefly narrate to you the story of Lord Ram, because you have already heard it many times. This means that Parikshit Maharaj must have been familiar with this. And we also find in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the gopis are describing to Krishna that actually we know you are a very bad character, and that you will specifically mistreat women, because we heard from our grandmother they were going to Kaulanasi, who's actually, as far as I know, Brahmacharini, that she is referred to, just like you may say to any woman, one should say Amma in Tamil Nadu, mother. Even it used to be the young girls, they were called Amma. Isn't it still a good one? Probably not. But previously it would have called
Mama.
Mama. So, even young girls, 5 years old, they're called mother. So they get in the consciousness of being like a mother, instead of being the consciousness of being Miss India or something like that. They want to become Miss India. Miss India means the biggest prostitute in India, that's it. So, Amma, that is respectable and respectful. It's respectful to say Amma, and that woman who is addressed as such will naturally want to be respectable. So they were addressing, they said, our grandmother, she told us about in your previous incarnations, you were so badly behaved, that this Bali Maharaj, when you came as Vamana, that this Bali Maharaj, he so devotedly offered you 3 steps of land, he offered you charity, all that you begged for, but you were so ungrateful that you arrested him like a crow and tied him up and sent him down to the lower planets. And then, when you came as Lord Rama, you were so cruel that this Shurpanaka, she didn't really do anything wrong, but you punished her through the agency of Lakshman by cutting off her nose. So you can understand that actually it's just your karma to be said. Your birth after birth, you are such a bad person. Of course, this is to be properly understood. The gopis aren't actually persons. This is called prema vivarta, the transformations of pure loving devotional service for Krishna. But anyway, the point I'm making here is that the gopis, even though they were sinful village women from the external point of view, and in many ways, just like simple village women, who must have been present all over India at that time, you know. Especially, of course, the culture, even at that time, probably was different somewhat between North India and South India. But we can imagine that even outside of Raja Mandal, in the area which is now known as UP, that there was, so in every village there were gopis. And they all, they were familiar with the narrations of Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, because that culture was there to narrate them regularly, of dramas, and people would hear, and they would be benefited. They would get good instruction from the narrations described therein. One can learn what it means to be an ideal king, an ideal citizen, ideal wife in the case of Sita Devi. And we have, from Ramayana we have Sita Devi as an ideal wife, but similarly ideal was Mandodari. She was ideal, she didn't leave Ravana, she knew he was a rascal, but she warned him that you don't get mixed up with this Sita. This will be the cause of, if you're doing wrong, this will be the cause of your destruction. So she warned him, but he didn't like to hear. She did her duty. And in Mahabharata we have also particularly two narrations are there which describe the chaste wives. You can say? Gandhari. Gandhari. That's there, but there are two particular... You see, the Gandhari, there's no particular story about her, but she's definitely very chaste. But there are two particular narrations in Mahabharata, which... long stories. No, because her story becomes... it's intertwined. There's, what I mean to say in Mahabharata, there are two stories which are separately given. Which, long stories, which one is Savitri and Satyavan, and the other is, you said it, Nala and Damayanti. Nala is the husband, Damayanti is the woman. Romantic story. Actually, one. That is not very important, but a pure devotion. That is enacted on the platform of Vedanta. Such Sharadhana Muniyo Jnanabai Raja Yukhaya Pashanti Atma Chakanam Bhakya Shrutagi. On the basis of Shruti, these Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, this is not Shruti. This is considered Smriti. It's not what is called the original Vedas. So, devotional service is executed on the background of hearing from Shruti, but actually in Shastra it's also stated that one cannot properly see if he only studies Shruti. Shruti is also required, because they're like two eyes. If you have only one eye, you can see, but not properly in focus. Two eyes put everything properly in focus. So, Shruti and Smriti are like two eyes. So, these are required to understand. Not only, you see here it's described how Bhishma Devi is describing Raja Dharma, Stri Dharma, Dana Dharma. All, what is the proper behavior for persons within human society? So, actually these are important also. These books, especially Ramayana, Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the basis of the Vedic culture that was previously so widely practiced in India. And also other Shastras. The Vishnu Purana is very popular in this area, especially because Srikad Ramanujacharya is giving special importance to them. Now, in Orissa, especially South Orissa, and to some extent in northern Andhra Pradesh, you'll find that Nrisimha Purana is very popular, and many devotees of Nrisimha Devi. I'm staying in the, I'm renting a room at this time in Puri, I'm going back there today, in a Brahmin house where they don't have a TV, and morning and evening they recite Nrisimha Purana in Oriya translation. Just, not everyone takes part, the one, two ladies especially, they listen to them. So that is the culture. So, Other Puranas are there also. So these form the basis of Vedic society. That South Orissa, they mostly they are attached to Lord Nrsimhadev as he appears as Lakshmi Varaha Nrsimha Swami at Simhachala, which is near to Vishakhapatnam in northern Andhra Pradesh, close to the border with Orissa. So, like this, this all forms the basis of Vedic culture. We find in Gita Govinda, which is purely devoted to the pure loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, very elevated Shastra, that the author Sri Jayadeva Goswami begins, or in his introduction, he gives this Dashavatara, which is very famous throughout India, especially here in the south. Still, many people recite that. Where I'm staying in Puri also, it's also well known. It's recited daily in the temple of Jagannath. Actually, it was widely known all over India at one point, but now, due to the influence of modern society, less so. But Jayadeva Goswami, he has begun his Gita Govinda with a description that who is this Krishna who is described here. If we read Gita Govinda, we'll find Krishna is described as practically seems like a debauch. But first we should understand who is this Krishna. Keshava Dvita Dashavidha Rupa Jayadeva Hare. He is Matsya, he is Kurama, he is Brahmana, he is Varaha, he is Parashura, he is Nrsimha, he is Lord Ramachandra, he is Balaram, he is Buddha, he is Kalki. So he is not any ordinary person. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That should be understood. So, Jayadeva Goswami is given briefly a summary of all the pastimes of these 10 avatars in this Dashavatara stotra. Kalaya payo vijale kutavana sivega. Vihitava hitra charitra makeda. Keshava dvita meena shavera jai jagadisha. So just very briefly he's given that when the Vedas were in danger of being inundated and lost in the deluge, then the Lord appeared as Nini, the Matsya Avatar, to save the Vedas. So just briefly his book, because it's expected that all who are participating in this singing or recital, they know. So it's just a summary. Just like we'll find at the end of major scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Vyasadeva and Krishna Kaviraj Goswami in this case, they just very briefly they go over the main topics and they in one verse they'll summarize one or two major pastimes. So we'll find like Prithu Maharaj, his narration covers maybe 9-10 chapters of Bhagavatam. It's one of the longest narrations in the Bhagavatam before the 10th century. So that is summarized in one or two lines. Just to remind, same thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end of each leaf, of each of the sections, Adilila, Madhilila, Antilila, there is a summary in which in a few verses he summarizes. In one verse he summarizes one or two chapters. He gives the summary of them. So it's expected that everyone should know this, and hearing about this, Sri Jayadeva Kavaya Veda Modita Nidara, Sugadam first. So he says, this Jayadeva Goswami, the poet Jayadeva, has composed this very nice Dashavatara Stotra, which by hearing, even though we're in this world of birth and death, then we can become, it gives auspiciousness and happiness. So, same in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can read, just like you're mentioning Rishinga, Rishinagiri.
So we can read there's the story of Rishinagiri.
The story. But in Bhagavatam, you'll find what is, of course, the story is given there also, but very long section on Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. So Srimad Bhagavatam is Leela Grantha, but it also gives much importance to Tattva, to philosophical understanding of the Absolute Truth. We'll find that more in Srimad Bhagavatam than in other Puranas. And Mahabharata we'll also find, I guess Mahabharata is full of stories, and there's also instructions for human society given paroksha and aparoksha. That means indirectly and directly. It means indirectly by giving stories and directly by giving different verses. You should do this, you shouldn't do that. And there's also some philosophy, but not much philosophy until we come to Bhagavad Gita, which is all full of philosophy. But in general, Mahabharata, not so much philosophy, but Srimad Bhagavatam, among all the Puranas, has a lot of philosophical discussion. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as being a Purana, it's also the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Srimad Bhagavatam is most important, but other Puranas also important, of course. Most people in the modern age, they don't have time or inclination even to study Srimad Bhagavatam, even our devotees. Unfortunately, many of them, they haven't read even once all Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's read through all Srimad Bhagavatam? Please raise your hand. None of you. You didn't read? Now you're retired for what? 2 years? Now you have time, isn't it? You should read for 2-3 hours every day. Really? Very important. It's a good idea to retire, but now you should take the opportunity for studying very carefully this Srimad Bhagavatam. Read through it all. It's wonderful. Once you get a taste for this, you'll never have a taste for reading other literatures. But then we may read. Now I don't recommend this because this is written by some Kami and they won't have the proper understanding. You can read that edition I've given?
Yeah.
That's also, children can read that, isn't it? Did you see that Ramayana?
Yeah, yeah.
Next edition we're doing with many pictures also, not Kalavan this. You see, the problem with reading this kind of, this edition is by someone, but who is that someone? Probably it's Mayavad influence, and it will come through. It will, this edited by Gita Menon. So Menon means iron, or the
Naya,
yeah. So then, So, unless they're initiated in ISKCON, the Mayas, they're all Mayavadis. Men and Keralites. They don't have a... Not only Keralites, but people in general. I mean, if it had been Iyengar, then there was more hope. Nowadays, Iyengar means they mostly don't understand either, because they don't take systematic training. But the point is that definitely their misunderstanding is going to come through. There's another very popular edition of Ramayana and Mahabharata, very concise, published by Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. Actually, it's not Bharatiya Vidya, it's not the actual Vidya, it's the Avidya, or the Vikrita Vidya, the perverted Vidya they're promoting. So they have, it's very popular, they're giving many editions of
that Rajagopalachari's edition. And they also have bigger versions by this Kamala Subramanian. But they're all infected with the wrong ideas. That yes, we give great respect to Lord Rama. He doesn't actually exist because he's just transformation of the mode of goodness or something like this. So that's actually why I made this edition of Ramayana in the first place. Because I saw all our devotees, they're reading this Kamala Subramaniam's edition. And she's completely Mayavada. So it's very dangerous. Most devotees, they don't have enough philosophical depth or discrimination to find the Mayavada when it comes. And that means they get infected by it. So Avaish, what is that? Avaishnava mokod girnam utam haripatamritam shravanam naiva kartavya sarko chishtam ratavai. You should not hear Harikatha from non-devotees. They say, well, they're only speaking about Hari. Just like yesterday that devotee said, well, the Shankaracharyas, they always say Sri Hari, Sri Hari. But that is, Sri Hari or Harikatha as found in Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. That is all nectar, amrita. But amrita means that which stops death, akrita. But amrita also means milk. Sometimes milk is called amrita because milk is supposed to help elongate our lives. That means cow's milk without injections, and you can't get that kind of milk nowadays. It's difficult to find. So the example is given. Milk is amrita, just like nectar. But if a snake drinks that milk, poisonous snake drinks, then whatever milk is left over, if you drink that, that will not be amrita, that will be mrita, that will cause us to die. It's full of poison. So it looks the same, it may even taste the same, but the effect is different. If we hear from non-devotees, then instead of getting the benefit of becoming immortal, by hearing about Krishna, instead of entering into the immortal service of Krishna in the Loka Vrindavan, we are all spiritual life will be spoiled. So don't hear from non-devotees. And we should not even not hear from mixed devotees, we should hear from pure devotees. Just like we might hear some good reciters, maybe they come from Vrindavan, not hear so much. They're mostly reciting in Hindi. Or they may even be from Vallabh Sampradaya or something like that. But we have to see what is their character, what is their understanding. We should hear from pure devotees. They made some system in some congregational programs that they invite everyone to come, and all the new people, they all give their opinions and discuss. But I'm not in favor of this. They should hear. They should learn to hear. If they're not ready to hear, then all right, you did play prasadam. But what is the use of listening to people who don't know and have the wrong idea? We should, even in the temples, it's not that we should listen to anyone. We should listen to those who have entered deeply into Shastra, who understand the import, who live according to it. We should be very careful who we hear from. Because if we don't hear the right thing, then we'll hear the wrong thing. Absolute truth means that there is no defect. If someone is not 100% pure devotee, then there will be a defect in what he says. So when they say, then who shall we hear from? 100% pure means still there may be some residual bad things in the heart, but he's 100% dedicated himself to the principle of full surrender to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person may be considered a pure devotee. Such a person we should hear from. But if we hear from someone who thinks that, well, just like mostly people think God is someone who is our order supply. Yesterday I was looking in this, The Week magazine did an article on does God exist? And some physicist has given a 60%, 7% chance. according to physics. But he said personally, my own opinion is that he's much closer to 100%. So they were analyzing and they gave some different opinions. They gave the opinion of, what's his name, Ramjet Malani, is it? Yeah, so he gave, Yeah. So he gave his opinion, lawyer and politician. Did he win in his election? He was opposed. He was opposing Vajpayee, wasn't it? He lost in Lucknow, I think, or something. Anyway, he gave his opinion that, well, basically I believe in God, but I've been having my doubts recently because, you see, there was this earthquake in Gujarat, and so many children, they were suffered, and they were buried under the rubble, and very slowly they died. So if there's God, why should he do that? And someone said that, well, I used to go to the Shirdi Sai Baba temple, and I was trained as a space pilot, and I used to go to the Shirdi Sai Baba temple every Thursday, and they told me if you give a lakh and 1 rupees donation, then you'll get chosen for the space program, you'll be shot into space. So I did it, but still I didn't get shot into space. So now I don't believe in God. These are intelligent people. He's trained as a astronaut, or his Ramjet Malani, by his intelligence only he's become prominent. He's a prominent lawyer, so you have to be very intelligent. But materially intelligent, but spiritually full number one. Because they think that God, you see, they think, if there's God, God means all powerful. And if there's God, it means he's good, and kind, and just. So how can there be God if there's so much suffering in the world? This is an ancient problem for the Christians, theological problem. The answer is that it's given by Christian Bhagavad Gita. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhukti te hetu vichyate. That we ourselves are the cause of our suffering, not God. We bring it upon ourselves. So this could be the subject of another big lecture, but there's no time. Time, tide, wait for no man, and trains don't wait for many people, but not for me. Maybe if Ramjet Malani was going to go on the train, then they'd delay it for him. But not for me. So we'll finish the class here. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Jumped in there, I saw. And go up first.
You said that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, various quotes are given from different sastra which support the view of how it supports
the Bhagavad conclusion, yes.
So, there are other Puranas like Rajasic Puranas and Tamasic Puranas where some descriptions are given, some stories are given which are contradictory to the
There are some stories given in different shastras which are contradictory to Bhagavad philosophy. They may appear to be, they may not be, or they may be also. Therefore, we have to understand shastra through acharyas. Just like, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself quoted from Brahma Vaivarta Purana that Ashvamedham Dalalangam Sanyasa Pala Paitrikam Devarena Sutratin Pant Kalo Pancha Vivarjayat. That in Kali Yoga, 5 activities are proscribed. Not prescribed, proscribed. Proscribed means forbidden. So, what are they? Offering a cow and sacrifice. First comes offering a horse and sacrifice. Offering a cow and sacrifice. Taking sannyas. Offering meat in shraddha to the forefathers, and begetting a child in the womb of one's brother's wife. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this to the Qazi to say that there is shastric, it is allowed in shastra that there be cow sacrifice. This came up in the context of a discussion with the Qazi, Chan Qazi. And he also said in the course of relating this that this is sannyas is also delivered in Kali Yoga, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Leela as Acharya, himself took sannyas. So what is the purpose of this? This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that actually Brahma Bhairavata Purana is a Rajasic Purana. So that is meant for people in the Karma Kanda. So proscribed here is the Karma Sannyas, or persons who are following Karma Kanda and who renounce that, and they take sannyas to go up to the stage of becoming a jnani. But the sannyas which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, itam sasthaya parāmanishtam adhyāsitam purtanai mahandhi aham tarishāmi durantapāram tanomukundāngri nishayurāda. This sannyas, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, of renouncing all family connections for the sake of serving Mukunda, Krishna, that is the eternal function of the soul. Savadhaman kavitra jamanikam shamanikam. So that is never forbidden. So we have to understand through the acharyas. So, sannyas, this sannyas, to dedicate everything in the service of Mukunda, that can never be given up. That's all, that should always be there in human society. You have one question, then we'll finish.
Is it true that somebody is worshipping a demigod very sincerely? You'll be elevated in confidence.
If one is worshipping a demigod very sincerely, once Prabhupada was asked about what is the position of a sincere atheist, the Prabhupada said it's like saying an honest thief. If one is actually sincere, he will worship Krishna. Worshipping demigods means you want something from them, so it's not actually sincere. Just like someone has a high office, just like this Jai Lalita I heard, that people, when the candidatures are being distributed for election, then people will come down and bow down to full dandavat. So it looks like surrendered servants to her, but they want to get the seat. They don't care for her. They want to get the seat. Now the opposition party, or the various parties, are supporting the Congress. Yes, we are very sincerely with you. But everyone knows that within a few days they'll turn around and stab them in the back. If they find it better for their self-interest. So sincere means that we are acting without self-interest. Worship of demigod means it is not sincere, because one is only worshipping demigods for one's mistaken idea of what is one's self-interest. What were you saying? Will they go to the demigods?
No. Will they be elevated ultimately to Krishna consciousness?
Will they be elevated to Krishna consciousness? If they are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and take his guidance. Even if they go to the demigods reciprocate with them like demigods, not like administrators of the material world. Generally they don't reciprocate with people as devotees. So worship of demigods doesn't automatically lead to Krishna bhakti. Therefore Krishna rejects kamaistaistai hidagyana prakatyante yuvedatana antavaktutalamtejantan bhavatyalpamevasa. This is one of your big obstacles. You're saying you're turning out obstacles in devotional service. That even we find people are, they take to Krishna consciousness, they get initiated, but still they remain attached to all this demigod worship. You have to choose. What do you want? Do you want Krishna or you want Kali, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, Sai Baba? What do you want? Well, Sai Baba isn't a demigod. He's not even a demi-demon. He's a complete demon. So, but people...